No
king but Jesus.
Mighty name.
No king but Jesus.
Hallelujah. Name above every name.
I agree. And the only words to describe what the Lord has done over these past 3 weeks, the only words I know, Winnie, how is literally no king but Jesus. We saw the nation change. We saw the world change from the journey in context and synergy with the journey that we are privileged to go on. And Lamplighter family, I just cannot thank you enough for covering us, praying for us. I talked to Bill and Marlene earlier in the week, and they were mentioning how much warfare, outright, can't sleep through the night, the Lord wakes you up to pray kind of warfare was the norm during these past 3 weeks. And we felt it where we were, whether we were in Rome or in Jerusalem or traveling through Israel. We felt the intensity of it, and we also felt the breakthroughs. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for keeping us watched over and cared for. Thank you for the provision that you have given and invested, not just in us, but in the journey that has really accelerated as best as I understand God's purposes in the earth in a very profound way. And I also want to thank my adventurous colleagues in this journey, Ed Watts and James Nesbitt, Jamie Fitt. Of course, my bride, Jolene. We both came home with at least the remnant of a cold that got passed around from row to row on each bus. Seemed like there was no escaping it. I know very few who escaped without getting some kind of at least small cough or sniffle. But we spent the last couple of days recovering. Thank you for the emails and notes of concern after hearing me last Wednesday on the phone because I was a little bit I did sound a little bit tired, and I'm a lot better now. Thank you, Jesus. For the past 3 days since getting home, my bedtime has been 6:30 at night. I haven't been able to sleep. I mean, I stay awake past 6:30 p.m., which is, I guess, you know, midnight Israel time. And so I've got a breakthrough even tonight. I'm wide awake, and it's 9 o'clock at night here. Hallelujah. So I want to thank you guys for your prayers, and for those on the call who made this journey together with us, what an extraordinary time. Looking forward to hearing from some of you tonight. If you read the posting, I mentioned that last year we did our first Crown and Throne tour. We took a journey from just throughout Israel, retracing the steps of King David as he restored the Ark of the Covenant. So we retraced his steps, believing God for a restoration movement like unto the time of David. David restored the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, he restored his nation's covenant with God. And then from that place, he pitched a tent for the Ark, and the glory of God connected heaven and earth. And society changed in an unprecedented way. And we just knew that the Lord was doing this in Israel, doing this in Jerusalem. And he was making this opportunity available to nations to align covenantally with him and see portals that had been shut up between heaven and earth reopen. God opens up the windows of heaven and pours forth his blessing. And so we took this journey last year with this in mind and in heart. And when David chose to restore the Ark of the Covenant, He didn't move to Shiloh, where the ark used to rest. He brought it to Jerusalem. And we knew that as David founded Jerusalem, the city of David, in a whole new way, bringing the ark there, we knew that God was doing something unique with Jerusalem. It was amazing that 9 months later, Donald Trump gets up and defies all diplomatic protocol on a global level, especially as defined by the United Nations and the previous administrations of the State Department. He defied global governance and declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, something we all knew was true, but it was cleverly disguised in diplomatic terms. Tel Aviv was officially the diplomatic capital of Israel, and Donald Trump had the audacity to stand up against the global tide and say, no, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. This was quite a breakthrough. If you remember, the last act of his predecessor was to, in diplomatic realms, was to declare the Western Wall in the Jewish quarter of the old city of Jerusalem to be Palestinian land illegally occupied by Israel. So the holiest site in all of Judaism was called Palestinian land illegally occupied by Israel. So this is a dramatic turnaround, a dramatic reversal. And guys, we have been seeing with our own eyes, we have seen and tasted of both the depths of the challenges and the depravity that our nation has succumbed to. And we've also seen some of the most dramatic turnarounds from that depravity that we could possibly imagine. Daniel 7:22 has been such a profound focus of ours for the past 5 or so years. Judgment in favor of the saints, restraining the enemy, releasing the saints to possess the kingdom. And we have seen these turnarounds occur with greater frequency, greater regularity than we could have possibly imagined, where the most impossible situations, heaven's verdict intervenes, and we see this turnaround. We saw this turnaround, guys. This past July, we felt to convene a small group of high-level intercessors, affectionately known as the Gideon Group, over 7:22, which happened to be Tisha B'Av. We felt very strongly that God wanted to bring a turnaround even on Tisha B'Av, and he highlighted Washington, D.C. this year. And so we actually gathered a group of intercessors that we've been walking with for a while, and we were invited to go to the State Department. And amazingly enough, when we went to the State Department on 7:22 to pray on site and declare God's turnaround at the State Department, we are met at the doors by Ambassador Sam Brownback, who heard that we were going to go on a prayer tour of the State Department, and he decided he wanted to help lead it. It was just amazing, but he had a very important consortium on global religious freedom coming up, and that was part of our assignment, was to pray for that consortium, that global ministerial. So he opened up the doors and escorted us around and then brought us up to his office. And he showed us a picture with tears welling up in his eyes of Pastor Andrew Brunson imprisoned in Turkey. And he begged us to pray. And I will never forget standing in Ambassador Brownback's office praying Daniel 7:22, judgment in favor of the saints, and having that sense that God was up to something and speaking out that he was going to bring a turnaround. From July 22nd on, we have been praying with great fervor for Pastor Brunson's release. Isn't it something that just as we finish up this tour, Andrew Brunson not only gets released from house arrest after he was released from prison but he is returned to the United States and goes and lay hands on President Trump and blesses President Trump, and his wife prays the sevenfold Spirit of God over President Trump just yesterday. You can't make this stuff up. And we're seeing these dramatic turnarounds again and again and again. We saw it on the first Crown of Throne tour when Jerusalem was honored as the capital of Israel. And our focus then was seeing the Ark of the covenant with God restored. Our focus this time was on the lampstand. That this was this is what Jolene and I carried. Everybody else carried different aspects in, but we all unified together and had a united focus on each other's assignments. And it was absolutely amazing to partner with Ed and Jamie and James, and Ed and Lynn Alderson were along with us, the HAPN leaders for the nation, and see the Lord restore his lampstand from Rome to Jerusalem. If you were at Revolution last year, this was a primary focus. It's the overarching focus of our book, Midnight Cry. We knew that we were to bear witness to the restoration of God's lampstand from Rome to Jerusalem. And standing at the Arch of Titus a year ago, after completing the Crown and Throne tour, the Lord told us to go back through Rome. And I stood at that arch and saw the depiction of Jewish slaves entering into Rome, carrying the menorah that Judah Maccabee lit to reconsecrate the temple to the Lord. And the Jews were coming in as slaves. Their brethren had been slaughtered by the hundreds of thousands. Josephus estimates that up to 1 million people had been slaughtered by Titus the general when he sacked the temple and plundered what was left of it. And Jewish slaves are pictured entering into the gates of Rome and really into the gates of Europe in subjugation, prejudice, hatred, malice, carrying the artifacts that define who they are, especially that menorah. And I knew the Lord wanted to grant a full reversal of this travesty and tragedy that had befallen the Jewish people. He, as part of this, as a symbol of this, wanted to restore his lampstand from Rome to Jerusalem. And we've been on this journey, Lamplighter family, ever since December, focused, intentionally focused on keeping the fire of our own lamps kindled for the Lord and going out to meet the bridegroom, entering into the flow of the journey that he is bringing. And of course, this great procession culminates with a wedding. The midnight cry is a summons to a wedding, and this wedding of the ages is going to take place ultimately under the bridal canopy of God's very glory, surrounding and encompassing all of Mount Zion and all of her assemblies. Isaiah 4 talks about this. And the glory of God is going to unite us with each other, and in him, will be united to the bridegroom. This is the ultimate expression of the midnight cry and the midnight procession. We knew that we were going to bear witness to this procession, that just as the virgins trimmed their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, so were we being summoned by the Lord to light the fires of our devotion to the Lord and enter into this procession from Rome to Jerusalem and carry our lamps from the Arch of Titus to the Western Wall, where the temple once was, where Christ is returning. And it was just an amazing, amazing journey standing at the Arch of Titus and with 110 of our best friends and praying and seeing the Lord bring the revelation of his fire in a unique way to each of our hearts. And then we got our menorahs out, and we began this journey in earnest. And this journey culminated. So many of you sent funds to support us in this. We felt like we were to rent Aish HaTorah, the overlook to the Western Wall that is so amazing, where you can see not just the Western Wall, but all of the Temple Mount. Our pictures depict this. It almost didn't happen. It seemed like the doors were going to shut because it turned out they didn't factor in the equation that they were going to be closed because it was a holiday. The Feast of Tabernacles, this yeshiva was closed. But a gentleman traveled probably 45 minutes, I guess, to open the doors for us. And, you know, we thought it was just going to be like a, you know, a regular employee. It turns out this is the son of the founder who opened up the doors to us and invited us in. And his name happened to be Yehuda. He is like the Judah Maccabee of our day. His name is Judah. So it was just a full circle moment in so many ways. And we got to go on to this overlook and present the menorah to the Lord, overlooking the entirety of the Temple Mount, dreaming of the day when the ultimate restoration is coming and Jesus is being restored, and there's going to be a procession of probably millions. Who knows how it's all going to work, but Matthew 25 is going to have its ultimate fulfillment as these wild, fiery intercessors from all the nations of the earth come with their lamps blazing to the wedding and present their lamps to the Lord and are joined with him and joined with each other under the bridal canopy. It was an extraordinary moment that I will treasure for the rest of my life. And part of what the Lord brought forth in my heart was a fresh fire for him. I didn't realize how dim my fire had become. And so I spent a lot of private time just pressing into the Lord and delighting in that pressing. We've been so used to some of the challenges and the warfare of the moment, it was absolutely exhilarating to reset my gaze on Jesus and to make this pilgrimage with everybody. Again, one of the highest honors of my life. We, on this journey, went from the Arch of Titus, where our lamps were brought forward to officially mark the beginning of the journey from Rome to Jerusalem. And then the second portion of the journey that we went on was to fulfill an assignment that God put in the heart of our dear friend Ed Watts. And Ed, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Ed, yes, I can hear you now, Ed.
All right, wonderful. Yes, I am.
Welcome to the call, my friend. Honored that you're able to join us tonight. Just go ahead and share us what was on your heart and just share whatever you feel. Ed Watts, everybody.
Well, I have a little bit of time here, but I really wanted to get on the call just to thank the Lamplighter family and and just all the prayer support, the prayer coverage was so vital, and we just so appreciate, I know I speak for the whole team, for James and Jamie and for all of us, that we just extend our gratitude and our thanks to the Lamplighter family and all that you did to really help make this journey possible. So I just wanted to bless you and thank you, everyone that is so faithful to be a part of this call every week, and just all that you've done to make this mission possible. And we really carried out some really incredible assignments on this journey that we probably won't know the impact of them until we get to the other side of eternity and are able to look back and be like, wow, we were able to accomplish what we accomplished with all the initiatives with the lampstand and bobbing every capital and declaring God's government. And so I wanted to, before I get into anything, I really wanted to say for those that didn't get to go on the journey, I felt like I had a prophetic word for you that there's an impartation on this call tonight. And just because you didn't go on the journey, you did go on the journey in spirit. And so,
right.
Father, I thank you right now, Father, for an impartation of everything that we received and walked in on the journey. Father, I thank you that those that didn't get to go, but they did go in spirit. Father, I thank you for an impartation. I thank you that their ears are opening to hear, their eyes are opening to see, that there's download, Father, even on this call tonight, that you're going to show them things that they've never seen, aspects of your beauty. And Father, I just thank you for that mantle of justice and governance coming upon the Lamplighter family. Father, that they're going to another level. This whole covenant community is going to another level, the Lord says.
Yeah,
Father,
agree.
I thank you, Father, that they've accessed something in the courts of heaven, Father. And I thank you, Father, for the oil in their lamps, the unceasing flow of the oil of heaven in the lamp of our family, in every tree, in every vine. Father, I thank you. And Father, I thank you for all the sound of the journey. I thank you for a hundredfold return with some. And Father, we just thank you for your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know.
Ed, are you there? Ed?
About bobbing all the 50 capitals and seeing a turnaround concerning the issue of abortion. And we were able to do it partially when the D.C. event happened in 2017 with the 50 tents. But I knew there was more. And through conversing with John and Jolene and others that and the HAPN network, we were able to carry this out. And it's just one of these divine moments that the Lord orchestrated, that when we had set the time to put the Vav in Capitol Line Hill in Rome, and for all the other capitals to, if they could at this time or in that day, it was when the Kavanaugh trials were to begin. And we didn't know that that would even be on the docket, but it was on God's docket, that when we are gathered to put the nail in the Capitol, and I've shared, I believe, on the call before that Capitol, when you study it, it comes from the Latin word caput, which means head. And that's where all our capitals really get their name from, is Capitoline Hill in Rome, that was dedicated to the god of Saturn. And the god of Saturn, if you study it, is the god that devours its children. And if you Google it and study it, you can literally see a picture of Saturn biting into a child. And so we really felt that we were putting a nail, like Jael, the woman that defeated the enemy in the tent, we were putting a nail or a vav in the head of the enemy, and that this enemy would no longer devour our children. And so it was just a divine thing that the Lord did and was able to put together. And we look at what was happening at the exact time we were doing this, is the shifting of the bench in the Supreme Court and the whole battle. And I mean, it's more than that, but that's the key thing right now on why, you know, it's like a Psalm 2 moment. The kings set themselves and they've cast off in a rage, but the Lord says, I've set my king on my holy hill. And so the Lord, we see a shift. There's a shift from Zion's hill to every other hill, and that's why we fell from seven hills to seven hills. I believe that we'll see a refocus, even as Donald Trump has brought a refocus on Jerusalem. I believe now, with what John and Jolene have really carried in the heart, and from you know, the roots of Roman paganism, and putting them back in our covenant roots, which is in Jerusalem and the nation of Israel, and I believe concerning the lampstand or the menorah of the Lord, concerning one of the things the Lord gave me a year or so back was teaching the lampstand on the seven feasts and the uprooting of the false and the revealing of the true. And I believe we'll see a shift now where people couldn't hear before. People will begin to hear. And, I mean, there's so many, I don't have time to stay on the call, but there's so many stories. One of the things the Lord gave me is when we got to the place where Joshua renewed the covenant at Mount Gerizim, there's a story in the Bible in Genesis 35. You know, we know biblically in Genesis 12, Abraham comes to Shechem and builds an altar there under the terebinth tree. Well, Jacob, his grandson, comes after 20 years of serving Laban. He comes and crosses over the Jordan, and he brings his company there to that tree in Shechem. And he says, the Lord says, tell them to put away the foreign gods and take off the earrings. And those earrings represented more, if you study it, than just earrings for adornment. They were a form of worship. And, you know, Babylon means confusion. And the Lord said to have the people, as a prophetic act, take off the earrings of Babylon, of confusion, and renew their covenant with me here in this place of where Joshua renewed the covenant. And we went to Jezreel, and where the head of Jezebel was thrown down, and it was an incredible time. I found an earring there, and I felt like the Lord was speaking about the head of, it was a golden earring, and something that I would, you know, how Jezebel adorned herself, that her head was thrown down now, her authority was thrown down. And then we ended our trip at the Jordan to once again just to go to the waters and to what I call renew our wedding vows. Before a bride would put her wedding garments on, she would go in a mikvah or a baptism, and she would dip. That's what John the Baptist did when he called the people to the water. They were renewing their covenant commitment, and we had an incredible time of baptism. And we went down to the original site where they crossed over the baptismal pool there, and someone on our trip found an earring, a silver earring with a heart. And I felt like it was a sign from the Lord that now he's redeemed our ability to hear his heartbeat, and because we are a renewed bride with a covenant commitment. And I just, you know, there's so much, and I'm trying to hurry, but those were a couple things. I mean, there's so much that we could share, but I believe that things have shifted globally, and now the church will begin to hear, the church will begin to understand that we will finish the Reformation, and Jerusalem and the lampstand and the menorah of God will come to full revelation. And it's just John and Jolene, they really brought so many key things with the lampstand, and it was a pleasure, and it was an honor to journey with you guys and the lamplight.
Man, we feel the same. We feel the same, Ed, and the collaboration I think it was a collaboration together that was so dramatically impactful to me. I mean, when I say collaboration, even with the vision that you had of the Capital VOV initiative, the Capital Turnaround initiative, and you were seeking some language for what you were perceiving, and we went to prayer over it, and the Lord highlighted the precepts, the decrees to make with the Capital Turnaround Initiative. And then Ed and Lynn Alderson put that together in such a way that it was released to the entire HAPN network, and we were going, wow, that's great. We're going to have this time where we're in Rome, and at the same time we're in Rome, people in Washington, D.C., Summer Ingram led the team, and all 50 states are going to repudiate these ungodly ties to pagan Rome and see covenant restored, and we're going to deal with the abortion issue as part of this. This was all part of what you saw, what Jolene and I saw, what Ed and Lynn saw and began to put together. And then all of a sudden we find out that this didn't just go to the 50 state leaders. This went to the international HAPN network, the Global Apostolic Prayer Network, and many, many of the nations globally participated in the same thing. So all of a sudden, this, because of the collaboration, this journey all of a sudden took on a national and global dimension far beyond anything that we could have possibly thought of or conceived. And again, as you mentioned, Ed, just the fact that the Kavanaugh hearings were in full swing, you know, started that day when we said, hey, Thursday, we'll go ahead and we'll VOV, you know, I mean, let's do it then. Let's pray through the divorcement from bail, the revised divorce decree. We'll pray through the Capital Turnaround decree. And we'll VOV in God's verdict. We had no idea that the Kavanaugh hearings would begin then, and that was actually the as you said, the battle over Kavanaugh was really a battle regarding abortion. That's what the foes in the spirit realm, the demonic powers, were trying so hard to stop is this unjust bloodshed. And somehow we ended up at the very root of government-empowered abortion. As you said, Capitol Hill in Rome became the prototype for every governmental capital in the entire world. And as these capitals were established, Rome would conquer a territory, they would assign a city to be the capital, and the capital would rule that territory in subservience to Rome. So we broke the power by, in Jesus' name, we didn't do it, the Lord did it, broke the power of that subservience to Rome that is rooted in abortion. That was just incredible. It really was one of those, no way in human capacities we could have orchestrated that. We didn't even think of anything like this. The Lord gave revelation, and it gave you such an amazing peace, gave us a peace, gave Ed and Lynn a peace, and somehow Ed and Lynn ended up on our tour, you know? I mean, after being appointed the national leaders of the HAPN network and coordinating all this nationally, they end up on the tour with us. We're in Rome bearing witness. And then we had Sharon Webster and Audrey Pannier from California bearing witness from sea to shining sea that this was being broken through. It was just an extraordinary moment. And Ed, I remember the moment when you started pounding that VOV into the ground of Capitol Line Hill. We had to do it very discreetly. So we asked everybody to go up the stairs and kind of shield us as we pounded that thing in. But you could feel the reverberations. It was in the spirit realm. I can only imagine what it was like when Martin Luther pegged in his 95 treatise to the church door post. I felt the same. It was like pegging in the Reformation. And what was so amazing, we're completing that reformation. The day after, there was an earthquake in Italy measuring 4.4 on the Richter scale.
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of burning and spirit of judgment, that's Isaiah 4, 4, then the Lord will create over Mount Zion and over all of her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night, for over all the glory will be a bridal canopy. We were dealing with the purging of the unjust bloodshed by verdict from heaven's court, opening up the window for the glory of God to be that bridal canopy we were hoping to experience when we went to Jerusalem over tabernacles. The orchestration of God in this is so amazingly precise. And I'm just overwhelmed. I think everybody on the tour has this sense, like, I don't even know what happened, but I know something huge happened, and it's beyond our scope to even understand right now. So, Ed, thank you. I love you. We love running with you and can't wait to see what's next, my friend.
Yeah, amen. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for allowing me to share a little bit on the call. And I wish I could stay on the whole time, but
get out of here. Go be with your family, my friend.
I have to run, so bless you. Thank you.
Lord bless you, too. Thanks for joining us, Ed.
Yep.
So, Ed and Lynn Alderson, I believe you guys are on the phone as well, and we'd like to hear from you, some of your thoughts. And then we'll go ahead and continue a little further down on some of the things that transpired, like with the Vatican. Lynn, are you there? Lynn Alderson, if you're there, I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yes. Welcome, okay. Lynn Alderson.
Thank you. Honored to be with you tonight. We actually have some family in tonight, so Ed's with them, but I wanted to be with y'all on the call tonight, and it's just so awesome to just kind of sit back and kind of replay what the Lord did. But I think that one of the things that keeps resonating in my spirit, and John, you said this word, was the collaboration. And I think we've, you know, shifted into a new era as the ecclesia and the body of Christ. And I think in this journey, we saw collaboration among the fivefold at a global level, I believe, that was unprecedented. And
wow.
a result of that is massive breakthrough. And I just feel like the Father is so pleased because we all came with assignments, but we didn't come with agendas. And I want
to
say that
That's
again
a good
because
way to put
this
it.
Really
yep.
struck me when I sat back and thought about the entire trip and the people that were there. And there were so many key leaders that God strategically orchestrated for them to be on this journey, including us. We had no idea the magnitude, and even when we knew the Lord said to be on this journey, we had not stepped into the national leadership role at that time. And so when we went, there was such a weightiness about it. But again, the leaders that God sent, because he sent people on this journey, There were people that felt so compelled, they did whatever they needed to do to get there. And I believe that, again, there were many people that had assignments, but nobody came with their own agenda. And the collaboration that we saw from that was so extremely powerful. I don't even know the words to put to that, except for the Father is pleased. And I just feel that so strongly, that there was such a strong breakthrough in the governmental intercession arena, that I think Ed said we won't probably ever know the magnitude of what we did until we actually get to heaven and know. But I too want to say thank you to everyone who's on the call that wasn't able to go on the journey, but you were there with us in spirit and you prayed and we felt the prayers. And it was just amazing to feel that behind us. And all of those from HAPN that participated and joined with us, just really amazing. I think one of the things that was another highlight for me, John, was seeing how the Lord, you know, it talks about in Scripture that the Lord goes before us and makes a way. But there were times when we were endeavoring to do something and we felt like we were being blocked. Like we couldn't get through, we couldn't do the, you know, or it wasn't working out. And then all of a sudden, the Lord orchestrated, no, I mean, this is how it's going to happen. You know, he may shift the timing or he may have shifted the location, but his timing was perfect and his locations were perfect. I mean, even down to John, when we vlogged at the Capitol Hill. And, you know, when we get finished with the bail divorce decree and the Capitol Hill turnaround and the vobbing, and what was it, three brides? We saw three brides.
Yeah.
I mean, God was just showing us not only his pleasure, but his confirmation. And so I just want to encourage everyone who's ever stepped out in obedience. When the Lord says, go and do something, go and do it. You may not know the magnitude of what you're doing, but it is shifting and changing the landscape and the history of the ecclesia and what God is doing in our nation and the nations. This is a global shift that we just experienced. And we were just so honored to be a part of it, and really we'll never be the same. It was just absolutely amazing, and I know there's so much that we could say about it, but I think for me, John, those were two key things that really stood out to me, was the collaboration at that level and the timing of the Lord and his hand and his orchestration upon every little detail was just simply astonishing.
It was nothing less than astonishing. And, another amazing orchestration is we, of course, already know the power of the Peach Pit because the Museum of the Bible has benefited greatly from it. But then that extraordinary orchestration of the Lord, when you sowed a peach pit into Gideon Springs, the spring where Gideon had commissioned all of his troops, so the Gideon's 300, the first special ops forces in recorded history, as far as I know, at least in Israel's history. You put that seed in the ground there, and then we go around the corner to Jezreel, to Tel Jezreel, the hill of Jezreel, and people start handing you peach pits.
Yeah.
I think that in itself was a pretty tremendous sign that the seeds are going into the ground, and before you can even turn around, you're already reaping
the
harvest,
absolutely,
of the seeds.
Yeah, it was amazing, and we actually came home. There were eight peach pits that were found from the time that we planted that seed and built that altar. Over that evening, there were eight peach pits that were found. And so we came home with five of those, and, I know the Lord's speaking to us about the next step, but it's like it's the seed of life that keeps on giving. And
yes.
It doesn't just give, it multiplies. And it was just amazing. When we got to the location, we had asked the Lord to confirm where we were to sow that seed and build that altar. And we saw an opening up under a cleft of a rock there, and Ed went over there to it and started reaching up under there and looking. And when he did, he pulled out a pair of sandals. And I was so amazed that the Lord, I don't know how those sandals got there, but we were at the location is Jehovah Shalom. And so I was like, this is so amazing. And then, of course, the whole covenant of the sandals seals the deal. And so
yeah.
I'm still in awe of what the Lord did, but so gracious and so thankful that he allowed us to be a part of it.
And we've been praying for this Gideon company, this Gideon group to arise. And Gideon, of course, tore down his father's altar to Baal and restored covenant with the Lord, divorced from idolatry. And from the time that he did that, the angel of the Lord was able to actually partner with him. He saw the angel beforehand, but from that time forward, the angel of the Lord is welcomed back into the gates of Israel, and they partnered together to secure homeland security and to restore Israel to the greatness. And I felt like we were at that convergence point in Gideon Springs to see the angel of the Lord come. And I believe the partnership with the angelic is coming to a whole new level. That's another story, but so, so vitally important for us to understand. And I just want to put a plug in right now for Revolution 2018. I feel like we have reached a crescendo point. And so we're returning to the Museum of the Bible. Ed and Lynn, I think you're planning to join us for this. And we'll have Faisal Malik and Rick and Patricia Writings joining us as well, and many, many others. We're just seeing how the Lord is orchestrating this thing right now. But December 6th through 8th, it's a pivotal time for us to enter into this new season, enter into this new way forward in covenant with the Lord, in synergy with the angelic hosts, and see this breakthrough that the Lord has granted perpetuated here in Washington, D.C., and throughout the nation. So one of the most extraordinary photos, in case you noticed, there's not too many pictures of me on the internet. There's a lot of pictures of Ed and Lynn and James Nesbitt, because James has this classic face, and when he gets going, it's just amazing. Jamie Fitt. I love taking pictures. I'm a former photojournalist, and so I was behind the camera a whole lot more than I was in front of it. I had a few pictures taken while I was baptizing people for the first time in my life, so I literally fulfilled a dream of becoming a John the Baptist. But one of the most incredible pictures I took was of Lynn and Sandy McGuire and Jolene in full-on travail in the Vatican. And I never expected to see that one. But one of the ways in which the Lord orchestrated things is that we'd have, like, we had the breakthrough at Capitol Line Hill on the very day that Kavanaugh hearings began. And then 7 days later, we were at Tel Jezreel, where Elijah prophesied about Naboth's vineyard. You guys know the whole story of how Naboth was targeted by Jezebel in three ways. Number one, occult targeting. Number two, fake news sent to the broader public to influence the broader public against Naboth, and number three, in the court of law, fake news being given. Jezebel hired despicable men to speak false testimony. And Naboth, meaning prophetic words, that's what his name means, is prophetic words. Naboth was taken down. And Elijah came with heaven's verdict and declared that Jezebel was coming down. So that all took place in the very area that we were in. Archaeological excavations actually have discovered the military palace of Jezebel and Ahab, and there's a wine press not too far away, which is probably the wine press of Naboth's vineyard. So, you know, archaeology is bearing witness. The stones are testifying that the word of God is true. Anyway, amazing to be there 1 week later, and the 1 week later happened to be the date that the Senate was reconvening to vote regarding Kavanaugh. And we prayed, we declared the verdict of the Lord, and Ed saw actually the gavel come down. And so, Lamplighter family, you know the verdict the Lord had given on Yom Kippur regarding Jezebel, and we took that through the White House. On this day, we actually prophesied it and declared it at the very place where Jezebel used to rule, that Jezebel's coming down. It was just extraordinary. And we saw what started in Rome kind of culminate in Israel. We saw this with the Vatican. It was an amazing thing. A gentleman that you'll get to meet via postings later on this week had a dream, I believe it was a dream, where he saw a guard of a prison. And the guard of a prison was a priest, and he had a key, and he saw kids behind the bars, and they were screaming for help. And he knew that the Lord wanted to bring these kids into freedom. And Joe was sharing with Jolene this prophetic experience. And, you know, we have been praying, Lamplighter family, we've been praying regarding the sex abuse that has been uncovered by the authorities of Pennsylvania and before that Massachusetts, the extraordinary sexual abuse of children by Catholic priests. It's estimated across the spectrum of the nation and world, there's a consistent statistic that 6% of Catholic priests are pedophiles. And the Catholic Church has been covering up this pedophilia, not just for years, but even for generations. So in the Vatican, as we are beginning to go through the Vatican Museum, I was walking alongside Jolene, and then she kind of drew back, and I looked around to see where she was, and she was in tears streaming down her face. And after Joe had shared the revelation that he gave, Jolene just kind of locked in with the Lord. She's been praying over this issue for years upon years. I mean, more than a decade. And one of her greatest expressions of her heart is to see people freed from sexual abuse. So she was weeping, and I asked her, Jolene, why are you weeping? And she said, I keep hearing, the Lord is allowing me to hear the screams of the children for help, the cries for help. And she was in full-blown travail going through the Vatican. And Sandy and Lynn by her side as she walked through the Vatican Museum, this very beautiful, majestic museum with these priceless works of art. And Jolene can barely move because this travailing prayer is on her so strongly. And then, you know, the folks that I asked to help her ended up in travail too. And all these women, Mary Faust and Holly Kingsbury, began to travail alongside Jolene. It just kind of began to break out in strength. And I'll never forget I was kind of running interference a little bit ahead, and the Lord had spoken to Jolene about a whirlwind of a spirit coming, that it's going to be a whirlwind magnifying God's blessings to those who have sown well, but to those who have sown evil, the whirlwind is coming, and they're going to have a speedy reaping of what was sown, an exposure of what was sown. And so I'm walking through a little bit ahead of the ladies as they are travailing their way through, trying to run interference a little bit. Then all of a sudden, I hear echoing through the hallway of the Vatican Museum, "Reap the whirlwind! Reap the whirlwind!" And I couldn't believe this is Jolene, because Jolene is usually just so reserved. She kind of stays in back. You kind of have to prod her to get up and share the word of the Lord in the public forum. But when God's on her like this, her words were releasing this travail, releasing this authority from heaven. And she kept praying and declaring, "Final blow, let my children go." It was just a profound time. The travail lifted when we went through the Sistine Chapel, but when we got into St. Peter's Basilica, the travail started again, and this great company of women just kind of came alongside, came together, and began to pray and travail. And I never thought we'd see this move of travail in the Vatican. And so our tour guide was like, "I don't understand what's going on." Very nice Catholic lady. And I just kind of mentioned that, you know, in her history, some of the Catholic contemplatives had unusual experiences with the Lord. And she said, "Oh, yeah, like Catherine of Siena entering into ecstasy with the Lord." And I said, "Yeah, somewhat like that." But this is where there's an unusual sensitivity to God's heart for the abused. And she looked at me and just kind of looked down. And to their credit, the Vatican officials who were keeping watch over this just allowed that travail to play out. I think that's very unique given, you know, the generally quiet atmosphere of St. Peter's Basilica that's very strongly enforced. We left there and saw again, just like we saw in from the correlation and this kind of completion of the work that was begun on Capitoline Hill, we saw it completed at Tel Jezreel. The completion of this birthing anointing, which broke forth at the Vatican, the release of God's justice, was brought to an amazing culmination on the second night of our time in Jerusalem at Rick and Patricia Riding's House of Prayer, Sukkot Hillel, when our friend Rania shared a word. I'm going to get into the word in a moment. But one of the primary words she had two words, one about the midnight cry and one about a women's movement. And they're the same word. They're the same expression. This is 5779, and 9 is the number for birthing. And the birthing anointing, that travailing prayer began to break out again, as Rania shared, as Jolene shared, as Mary shared, as Holly shared in a way that only Holly can share. It was absolutely amazing. And that birthing anointing began to break forth again, and we saw the birthing of this move of God and the acceleration of this move of God and even the birthing of a women's movement that many of us have been contending for. Jolene heard about this from the Lord a couple of years ago and has been just gathering some friends to help pioneer this. And I'm going to tell you that baby was birthed in Jerusalem. So what was kind of started at the Vatican, this justice expression, was brought to a whole new level, at least I'll say, in Jerusalem. Amazing. There's a whole lot more stories to tell, but it is getting kind of late, And so I just want to leave you with this one final story for the evening. And then I'm going to get off of mute. I'm going to unmute. And if there's two or three folks that are on the call that would like to share part of the journey, we would like to hear from you, and then we'll close out. But for me, this was very, very personal. We got to meet our friend Rania Syed at a spontaneous dinner. Our friend Linda Wyatt had invited Rania to come, and we were staying at her place, and Rania was going to come and stay at one of the bedrooms upstairs. And I didn't really realize that Linda and Rania were as tight as they were. We had met Rania back in 2013 at a prayer gathering called Nazareth Cry. But, I mean, it was just in passing. And we were just part of a crowd of, you know, 1,000. And this was our first time in Israel, and we were kind of blown away to be in Nazareth, and we're just off the plane and in Nazareth for this gathering. So even though we met, I don't think we, you know, I don't think she remembered us. So we sat down for this wonderful meal at the first station in Jerusalem. This is back in April when we were in Israel for the 70th anniversary. And she just begins to talk about the word that the Lord had given her for this hour was the midnight cry. And she said back in 2013 when she held Nazareth Cry, the reason why she held it is because the Lord had encountered her and had spoken to her. We didn't know any of this, that 2018 was going to be the year of the midnight cry. 2018 was going to be the year of the midnight cry. And she's just talking spontaneously, you know, in the kind of the prophetic flow that you get in. She didn't even know why she was saying any of this. And meanwhile, my hair was standing on end. Jolene was just like, her eyes were as big as saucers, because we had just written a book together called The Midnight Cry. Prophetic words for 2018, prophetic directives for 2018 and beyond. And so here Rania is confirming everything that we have been feeling and adding to it in a way that you just can't make up. And there's a blessing to it, you know, but there's also a warning with it, that the midnight cry, it's a time of crisis, a crisis so overarching that the broader body of Christ kind of just gives up and goes to sleep in almost a defensive mode. But at midnight, there's a cry. Behold the bridegroom. He's coming. Rise up to meet him. There's a turnaround that releases a cry from heaven saying, okay, this whole thing is turned. The darkness is turned. The delay is turned. And now's the time where the bridegroom is coming, and he's bringing this movement into the earth. And so that weight, the gravity of both the blessing of the movement that is being birthed through this midnight cry, but also the challenges and the perils of this hour, she was conveying these challenges as well as the blessings with incredible clarity as we're sitting around eating really good Israeli food at the first station in Jerusalem. And as part of this, she had a progressive revelation. You know how revelation is progressive. And I think it was like a year ago, 2 years ago, the Lord showed her in a vision that she was going to come and she was going to release this word in Jerusalem. She was going to come from Nazareth to Jerusalem and release the word. And so I just kind of tucked that away and had it in my spirit that I would like her to, at some point in time, address the folks that are coming on this midnight cry tour, you know. And I have to say that when she came and shared the word of the Lord, something was established in the spirit. It was just like a vision all of a sudden became a reality, and it's almost like we saw an open door and walked through that door into the season of the midnight cry. I don't know what's ahead. I do know that there is a burning lamp awakening that God has ignited as of this journey. It's a global movement. I do know that the women's movement is encompassing that. The shift out of abortion from a covenant of death empowering a culture of death to a covenant of life empowering a culture of life. We've made that shift. But it's not that there's not some challenges ahead. So, intercessors, I guess this is good news. You know, your job is secure for another couple of years at least. Standing between the darkness and light, and until the day breaks and the shadows flee away and all is well. So I just want to give you this perspective that even as we were stepping out in faith, dreaming of seeing the lampstand restored from Rome to Jerusalem, disconnected from the roots of Roman paganism and reconnected to the covenant roots of our faith, just as we are dreaming of this movement where we hear the voice of the forerunner saying, "Behold the bridegroom, he's coming, rise up to meet him," and we trim our lamps and go out to meet the bridegroom in response to the midnight cry. A woman from Nazareth, I kind of look at her as a successor to Mary of Nazareth, who had the encounter with the angel of the Lord, and then Holy Spirit overshadowed her and birthed in her Christ the Lord, birthed through her Christ the Lord. This woman, Rania, is holding open the gates of heaven for the Holy Spirit to brood over the entire city of Nazareth and bring to birth his covenant purposes for this hour. And just as Miriam made that journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, metropolitan Jerusalem, so she made this journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem to announce the release and the birthing, literally, of a new move of God. What the Lord has entrusted us all is far greater than we realize right now. And he is summoning us to a new focus and a new devotion because he's coming. His movement is at hand. It's going to affect Israel. It's going to affect America. It's going to affect the nations. And you have been called to be one of the midnight riders that hold out the torch and summon the bride to devotion to the bridegroom and to make a journey that will reverberate through all time. So it is an honor to share this with you guys and then to carry the torch into this new season with you. With that, I just want to say we love you. I'm going to turn it over right now to just if there's anybody else on the call who's been on the journey with us and you have a few things to share, please feel free. And then we'll go ahead and close it out.
I have something to share from Wisconsin. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. Hey there, how are you? Okay, there's a lot of background noise, so I'm going to ask you guys to go ahead so we can hear. Please go ahead and mute. If you don't mute, once I figure out who's who, I'm going to mute you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, so while you were at Capitol Line, bobbing there, we were gathering in Wisconsin, worshiping and praying, but then in the afternoon, for a couple hours, then in the afternoon, we went to Ripon, Wisconsin, which is the birthplace of the Republican Party, and there's a small building there where they met. But besides the historical marker there, there's an actual tombstone. And on the tombstone it says, In this schoolhouse on March 20th, 1854, was held the first mass meeting in this country that definitely and positively cut loose from old parties and had a new party under the name Republican. So we prayed into that to break the Republican Party and cut it loose from the old guard and the old parties and whatever, and we evolved that place right under a huge pine tree. My Native American friend, Bob, did. So I just wanted to add that little bit.
Praise God.
Boy, that is absolutely remarkable. Thank you for sharing that. That you can't make that up. That's amazing.
Would you mind recapping that a bit? Because it was so hard to hear her. I would love to know.
Yeah, their team in Wisconsin went to the place where the Republican Party was birthed. The Lord drew them to that place on the day when we all vowed and prayed through that Capitol turnaround decree.
And so we read the Capitol turnaround decree also there.
Yeah. And prayed for the cutting free of the Republican Party from the roots of Roman paganism and abortion and this kind of thing. That's amazing. Thank you so much for doing that. I know that this is a major contribution to the breakthrough that God's bringing. Awesome. Anybody else?
John, I want to share something about I just saw a clip today. This is Pam from Maryland, and I used to work for judges. And I remember this guy, Gosnell, was arrested. I don't know if you've heard of him, but the doctor Gosnell was in 2013. There's a movie that just came out, so I don't know if everybody knows it, but it's going to rock Hollywood, and I just saw it today, just right before I got on the phone. So I just wanted to share that because this movie, it's just amazing that this movie is just popping up right now, and it's going to be in the theaters. It's on the 13th.
Yeah, of all times. I mean, Gosnell and his horrific late-term abortion practices. His version of late-term abortion was to have the mother birth the baby and then kill the baby in cold blood.
Right, and it's funny because, I mean, not funny, but the Lord, at the time I was working for judges when this was out, and I remember reading the article, and I'm not going to go into my whole story, but the Lord was showing me that he was going to bring he was going to bring down and show that the murderers, even murderers in prison, there was going to be like a justification line coming down, showing the murder for the doctors as opposed to, you know, people who murder, you know, natural people out in the world and things like that. But I just saw some kind of like thing happening when I was working for the judges. So when this pops up.
Yes, it's really remarkable. The movie, there's a movie that was produced that just got released this week on Kermit Gosnell. And so the Lord's really moving on many fronts to shift us out of this whole thing into a new season. All right, well, I'm just going to go ahead and... I don't know what that sound was, but it was a weird sound. So for tonight, I'm just going to go ahead and pray and close this out. It's been a very powerful call, a very powerful summation and time of testimony. But we've only scratched the surface, guys, because we're sharing our story. There's 100 other people that have had extraordinary encounters and our extraordinary assignments that they've fulfilled. This has all been done in a collaborative effort in conjunction with each other, being made strong by what every joint supplies. And I so appreciate Ed Watts and James Nesbitt, Jamie Fitt, and especially my long-suffering bride, Jolene, for modeling both the passion and the patience necessary to collaborate together and to actually welcome this grace to be made strong by what every joint supplies, because it means that we lead together. And that also means that we all take the back seat and prefer each other. That was one of the most extraordinary aspects that, Lynn Alderson brought out, is we had two busloads of extraordinarily competent leaders. And, you know, it's perfectly natural for leaders to lead. And we actually all had an opportunity to lead in some way, but we also had the opportunity to just celebrate it when the hand of the Lord was upon our colleagues and friends so that they could shine. And what a delight. This is how I wanted to experience Jesus and do Christianity, honestly. Once you taste this, there's nothing else like it. And Lamplighter family, this is what we aspire to. So we love you. We honor you. Father, we thank you that you have sealed this call tonight. Lord, we declare that not one of the words from your heart, from your throne, from your spirit falls to the ground void, but there's tremendous fruit and tremendous harvest. We thank you that even as we bear witness to your majesty and your glory, your angels hearken to the voice of your word, and they are beginning to move and carry out the things that are being talked about. We thank you, Lord, for the great journalistic endeavors in heaven where you yourself are writing and recording the notes of affection and appreciation and love as they're being shared. And we just ask, Lord, that you perpetuate the breakthrough and the turnaround that you have started. And by your grace alone, please keep us right in the middle of it, front and center, moving with you and in you with each other. We love you and we honor you. And we thank you for this freedom movement that has literally been set into alignment and birthed from Rome to Jerusalem to the nations of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great night, everybody. We love you. No king but Jesus.
No king but Jesus.
No king but Jesus.
No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jes